Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, it is October 9th, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and the Jews are pissed. They are pissed with red eyes popping out of their cranium. Holy shit, is that a special time to be alive? 2023 is lit. And it is lit with bombs and attacks. And now Palestine is being totally abolished from the surface of the earth by the Israel government under the screams and yell and cheering of the Jews of X. And I'm laughing my ass off because, holy shit, it's good to see another face of the Jewish people. It's like, yeah, I know I should be crying and I should be deploring the deaths and all. I've kind of become habituated to human suffering with time, covering the news, and so I'm not that much into moral displays in these moments, but I'm laughing my ass off at just how aggressive the Jews have become on Twitter and how their masks have fallen. It is absolutely fantastic to see a Jordan Peterson just basically insane at this point, insane on his Twitter account. Like, if you want to have a humanitarian vision of what's happening, it's a bilateral violence that's been going on since the existence of Israel, and that will likely go on forever until one side is dead, basically. There is no other way. And to have a humanitarian understanding of this situation is to understand that there is enormous amounts of human suffering at this point. But what is kind of tragic and bizarre is to see the mainstream Jews and Jewish sympathetic people have total free reign to literally call explicitly for genocide on X when we're just out of a few years of censorship where even a dog whistle would get you banned. Even just a slur would get you banned. And now at this point, we have Jews laying out, look, we want the schools destroyed, we want the hospitals destroyed, but that's not enough. We want the full genetic constitution of this people to be bombed. I mean, you can't make it clearer that at this point, there is a rooting that basically genocide Palestine is trending. That makes me feel extremely uncomfortable because it does seem that all of the other genocides, I mean, you still can't deny the genocides of the past. And as someone was pointing out on Twitter, apparently you can call for a future genocide. You just can't deny a past genocide. We live in a world that has found it graver to deny the existence of a past genocide than it is to call for a future genocide to happen. That is where we're at. And this whole injustice of the world, this double standard, is centered around one group, the Jews. The Jews, who are the only group whose genocide is protected by law in the West, such that you can't deny it. And yet, they are screaming for genocide today on Twitter, and the genocide is happening. I mean, look at this father who's carrying the dead body of his daughter. Let's look at the video first. If you tell me that this guy is a terrorist who ends up bombing five Israeli officers and blowing himself up in the process in 1 year from now, I'm not surprised, but I'm barely morally offended. I'm like, yeah, if I'm a father and you take away everything that matters to me, and now I'm just a robot. I'm a man who has had their daughter taken from them. I'm just a free agent now. And the only thing that's left for me to do as I head toward death is, can I get some vengeance? I mean, this is what I'm laying out here is the psychological process of vengeance, violence, vengeance-inspired violence. But what we are being asked by the Jordan Petersons of this world right now on Twitter, and yes, I'll talk about the whole murder of my wife story. I know there's a lot of things to talk about tonight, okay? We'll get there too. This was a fucking weird moment of my life, but we'll get to it. But the Jordan Petersons of this world are asking me to take moral offense at a bunch of crack whores in raves, having been kidnapped by some Arabs and maybe having been raped and then killed. I don't know what happened, but we basically saw a handful of videos of adult rave goers thinking that liberty was extending to Israel, the liberty of the West was well in place in Israel, and therefore you can party in Israel just like you would party in North America, right? Well, for once, the crack whores of the raves are paying a price for their temerity and for basically following the impression that Jordan Peterson gave of Israel. Jordan Peterson was on a stage of Israel, presenting Israel as basically the forefront of human liberty on planet Earth. You can't go do a rave in Israel without severe risks, because you're not in an advanced nation, to be honest. You're in a nation that has developed an appearance of an advanced nation. But it's not advanced in its rights, it's not advanced in its politics, and it's certainly not advanced in its treatment of humanitarian concerns. It's an open sky prison for 2 million people who live without official status. The only population left on planet Earth that can't have a passport, that can't have the basic recognition of their existence as human beings, and that has effectively no right under the bombardments of Israel. And what Jordan Peterson is asking you, he's asking you to ignore the fact that this video isn't on Jordan Peterson's Twitter account. And what he will do is he's going to show you a similar video of similar violence, or maybe not similar, but of a violence of the same scale, if you will, done by the Arabs against Israel or against Israeli citizen. And he's going to exclusively cry for one side, but not the other. And that is very sad, because I'm not going to cry for anything you show me, as long as it's one-sided the way it is. And at this point, if someone is one-sided because of their personal bias, I'd be, okay, like, this guy likes Jews. I can understand. I like white people. And I cover more things about white people that are pleasant to me. But it's more than this. Jordan Peterson right now is yapping at people for not being pro-Israel enough. That is, if you make a neutral statement about this situation, which is human violence as a whole is deplorable, and I am both offended by the violence committed by some terrorists toward innocent victims of a rave, but I'm also alarmed at the violence here committed against an innocent child. That statement is inacceptable to Jordan Peterson. And Jordan Peterson right now is yapping and yelling at people who make that statement. He says you can't be neutral. Being neutral is violence. Silence is violence. if you're not pro-Israeli enough, if you literally don't call for the genocide of the Palestinians, you are wrong. That is what I extract from the tweets I've read from Jordan Peterson. Meanwhile, Jews are starting to realize that they might have to go at some point from America. And here we have Gad Saad saying, "This has been an ongoing conversation with my family for years. I don't know where I would be headed if I was forced to flee. Canada, Quebec. Perhaps I would go toward Japan, Bermuda, or maybe Hungary." And I said, "Wow, Jews are starting to think about leaving America for more homogeneous societies like Japan and Hungary." I mean, at this point, why didn't you just take the demographic ideology of Japan and implement it in the country that you were happy with? Why haven't you talked about, why haven't you guys been alarmed at the change of the demographics from a whole white nation to something else? Why didn't you intervene then? You just wanted to mess up Western civilization and then leave? Is that what it is? Because, you know, these people, Gad Saad people, are telling me, "Jeff, Gad has been anti-immigration." Well, Gad has been anti-something else also. He's been anti-white nationalism. So all of these people have ganged up on white nationalism, on the idea that we should preserve our nations as white. They've been ganging up against it, and they're going to have to live in the hell that they've created for themselves. It is so sad because you have destroyed Western civilization basically for fun, for the lulz. It's not even good for yourself. It doesn't even play in your advantage. Rate my boomer meme. I found that for a boomer meme, I think it's an excellent one. When an anonymous troll demon calls you Jordan Rabison, Rabison, Jordan is crying. And now, when Jordan calls for the carpet bombing and starvation of Arabs, he goes into another personality. This is the guy, by the way, who has been moral displaying across the planet in multiple interviews on, you have to control the fascist inside. You have to not let it go. Don't release the Hitler that lives inside of you. Well, the Hitler that lives inside of Jordan is currently in possession of his Twitter account. Holy shit. So let's follow the story and what has been happening during my 3-day break. I have to say, I've been enjoying my break. I took the break because I wanted to... Atchusput says, "Jeff is never late. What is going on?" What's going on is you need to refresh your page, my bro. Because here I am, live! So I took a 3-day break because there was just too much falling on my head. And I've been taking a lot of shit in my life. But let me tell you that having the feds suspect you of murder is one thing. But add this, like millions of people being convinced that you've committed the murder of your wife is, it's something else. I mean, it is. That's why I didn't want to make noise with this stuff, this whole Mama JF story. I didn't want, but the feds have decided to go with it. And I was like, I knew that this would happen. And so let's do it. I mean, at this point, locally, people now know that I'm here. People know, oh my God, he killed his wife. People are super misinformed. People are, you know, boomers don't, they don't follow, they don't watch long streams and stuff. They get their info on single Twitter memes and single Facebook memes actually. And so everyone thinks I'm a murderer, and I'm like, okay, there's some opportunity for dark comedy here. Let's do it. I wanted to be the first, the first person to generate jokes about a situation that is deeply, that is ultimately, you know, deeply personal and deeply sad. And so I went on Dick Masterson. I think that the Dick Masterson show was fun. It was edgy. It was extreme dark humor. You know, gallows humor is a thing, but generally people don't go deep into gallows humor. They make a little joke to release the tension, you know. I decided to make a whole hour a whole hour of gallows humor. And yeah, I think people liked it. But yes, and people think I must be doing bad. Like, people don't understand that I'm autistic enough that really the 1 million people thinking that I'm a murderer is not that dramatic to me. Like, I can survive that. But people are coming to drop food at my house. Thinking that, you know, they don't want me to die. They don't want me to starve. And it's like, yeah, I'm doing okay. Thank you for the food. But Based Saxon says, JF would make a great guest on his other show, The Biggest Problem in the Universe. That sounds like an interesting title. Perhaps that is a theme that I could explore with him. So let's, new guy says, that's compassion, JF. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I don't like compassion because I'm like, I'm doing okay. I'm rich. I don't need support that much. I appreciate the gesture. And honestly, there is some good food that people have brought me. There is some like very good local food that is, it's great, but it's like, should I be receiving a buffet because my wife has abandoned me? And because in the process of my wife abandoning me, somehow the situation unfolded such that people started suspecting me of murder. Naberius sends $10. Thank you so much. He says these center-right intellectuals like Peterson make a sort of Faustian bargain with Zionism. They think to support Zionism is to defend Western civilization. They don't realize the terrible moral cost of this bargain and how it further undermines the West. Yes, very wise super chat here. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button, just like Naberius. You can support the show with our favorite method, the Odyssey Super Chat. If you don't want to use Odyssey, you can also go on Entropy. The link is in the description below. Naberius, you are absolutely correct. I think that I hadn't understood this, and I think I'm starting to understand this, that basically Israel is also one more prong in the war against Russia, in a way. You know, understand Israel as an advanced outpost of a view of Western civilization, a view that is not even Western civilization, which is the fascinating thing here. You know, same thing with Ukraine. In a way, Ukraine is now the extended arm of the LGBT of North America, the kind of the military arm of LGBT activism. And Israel, because of the enormous power of Jews in the US, it's been very hard for me to see Israel as just an outpost. I would tend more to think of it, because it's a Jewish nation, I would tend more to think of it as the center of command. But the reality is perhaps different. Perhaps the reality is Israel is an outpost of Arab-type Jews who are used by other kinds of Jews to form an outpost of an extension of the American empire, which is the true empire that they control. I guess that this vision as Israel, not as the center where everything happens, but more as a kind of first outpost in the list of outposts, could be thought of that way. And when I look at these images of violence, I'm seeing a bunch of Arabs killing a bunch of other Arabs, honestly. It's like, I'm looking at the propaganda videos of Hamas, and here's an extremely tanned guy shooting, and he goes to see the body of the Israeli soldier he just killed. And the guy on the floor is not someone who looks like a Jew from Europe, nor a Jew from CNN, you know? CNN Nation. And so I'm like, ultimately, even Israel is an outpost of this network of command that exists truly as a diaspora, but mostly as a diaspora that has integrated the international finance system. And ultimately, the people who are shooting each other in this whole Israeli-Palestinian conflicts are as much puppets as the American soldier. They are as much puppet of the great militaristic plan of a group of elites who apparently have purchased so many thinkers out there that when I refresh my Twitter feed right now, I see screams of, yeah, you go, girl. You go, Israel. You go do that genocide. I mean, we'll see. This is literally what people are saying. I'm just reporting it as news here. It's not funny when you think about it. Israel. Israel's cabinet invokes Article 40 Aleph, officially declaring war for the first time since the Yom Kippur War in 1973. So we missed a lot of stuff that I haven't covered on the show because of my 3 days outside interviews. So it all starts with a bizarrely filmed rebellion of what seemed to be massive advances. I mean, massive, not by military standard or geopolitical standard, but it seemed to be, 3 days ago, an entry of Palestinian revolutionaries into Israel that seemed bizarrely effective. Bizarrely effective and bizarrely filmed. So it led to a bunch of conspiracy theories like, oh, this is just a false flag to justify bombing. I don't know to which extent, but I wouldn't reject the idea that there was some conniving happening here because the whole thing was laid out almost as a press conference. What we have seen in this attack 3 days ago where Palestinian militants, they capture Westerners in Israel. Some of them happened to be in a rave and they were dancing whores. And it's like, this is you've chosen rave whores as the kind of initial victim of, as your brave heart wife, you know, that gets her throat killed. That is who I'm supposed to be alarmed about. You're falling in a very bad moment of my life to recruit my military desires using crack whores. I'm sorry, bro. This is not the right week. But so, yes, it happens. So you see these crack whores being taken from their delusions of sexual liberty, you know, dancing like this in the rave. And then you see them, they're just being carried like rag dolls by Arabs and apparently getting raped because one of them, you can see there's a big spot of blood on her joggings and being separated from their boyfriend, which, you know, when you hang out in raves, boyfriend is it's a complex concept. So they get captured, and you have some advances of Palestinian fighters who effectively kill Israeli soldiers, and they take some things, they capture some positions and some material. And all of it filmed. All of it filmed in a very non-Palestinian footage type. Like, what is this? Why do we have live video suddenly from the Palestinian side? I've always had difficulty having live videos of current events. So you have two hypotheses here. Either this was planned and there were undercover agents from Mossad that were like, okay, something big is happening here. We're at least going to make sure that we get some videos of it. And so we're going to ask our our infiltrator in that movement to make sure to cause the filming of all this so that we can get some scenes, so that we can use it to our advantage. Or you can think, perhaps Hamas has just received new directions. Perhaps they have received new materials. War has changed, you know. War has changed. Perhaps war has changed, and the terrorists now, well, the terrorists, that's how they get called. As far as I'm concerned, the term terrorist is designed to exploit cognitive bias in your brain. Because how is it that the people who have done this are not called terrorists? Don't you think that father is terrorized a little bit? So I reject the term terrorism, and you know, Jordan Peterson is doesn't like this, doesn't like neutral views. He wants the cognitive bias to go on. But this term terrorism is designed to make you take a side before you even know it, and who the label is being applied toward really is who the elites wants you to hate. So as far as I'm concerned, we're talking about an existential conflict, and in an existential conflict, my life is dependent on it. Your life is dependent on it. So we're the same motherfucker. We're two motherfuckers at the same level. And each of us want to kill the other because our existence depends on eliminating the other. There's no terrorism there. It is it is political existential action of on both sides. So Israel eventually declares war, start bombing, and for the last 2 days, we've had the Zio's masks fell off. Dr. Jordan Peterson on October 7 states, "Give him hell, Netanyahu. Enough is enough." It struck me that this is a sentence he could very well say to a middle-aged woman who would consult him to know how to become a better dealer of her own salary in the professional world. Jordan Peterson has many times mentioned that he was counseling this kind of woman, training them to be more aggressive on their demands and to say, "I want this salary." And I can totally imagine Jordan saying to one of these women, "Give him hell. Enough is enough." And yet now he says it to a country that has bombs, and they're willing to use bombs to give literal hell to the Palestinians. So how is that not an open-ended appeal to genocide? Give them hell. I don't think I could say give them hell to a group of white people who would feel that they've been that they've been attacked in some form. You know, give them hell, guys. Do whatever is needed for their life to be hellish. I don't think I could say that, but the Jews can. Ben Shapiro calls on the absence of both sides here. And that is exactly the cognitive bias that they're trying to develop into you. If you both sides this, if you but insert fault history this, if you it's time for a ceasefire this, you are the problem. Wow. An appeal for peace is an appeal for violence. Everything has been reverted. Someone was quoting 1984 earlier in the chat. I mean, we're there. Peace is violence. Violence is peace. Freedom is slavery. And now a ceasefire is a problem. So what is being said here? A ceasefire is a problem. This guy is saying, just bombard the shit out of them until there's no one left to sign a ceasefire. Those are open-ended appeals for illimited violence, unlimited violence. I cannot believe that we're seeing this on Twitter. And I'm partly shocked, of course, because I disagree. Why is it suddenly the case that we can do open-ended attack that will likely kill innocent people the same way we saw the daughter die? Why is it that this is justified? Because a bunch of, a subset of the Palestinian people, a small subset, has participated to an attack against Israel. And look at how they insist on it. We're way past that. This is in response to Hamas says it is open to truce talks with Israel. We are way past that. Just open routing for elimination. Open routing for absolute war. How are these people having so much hate in their heart while being in Canada? Like, I don't get it. How do you get Jordan Peterson? Is it just money? Is it that he feels so much attached to Jews? I don't know. Does he have family members that are Jewish? This is like bloodthirsty, overdone rage being expressed here. We're way past that. So even if there was truce talk and it was on the table and it was possible, you'd be like, no, I don't want this. I want full war. I want destruction of the other side. Israeli defense minister talking about basically torturing Palestinians.
אנחנו מטילים מצור מוחלט על העיר עזה. אין חשמל, אין מזון, אין מים, אין דלק. הכל סגור. אנחנו נלחמים בחיות אדם.
Oh, they're pulling the animal dehumanization. Which, by the way, researchers on genocides will tell you that dehumanization is the third stage of genocide. And the fourth is the point at which you really kill the other side. So we are at one stage away from absolute elimination. And I can feel it. I can see it on Twitter. Callum Oxworth says, if you are a problem to Ben Shapiro, you're on the right track. Those are good principles to go by. Absolutely. So starve the population, bomb them, infinite violence, indiscriminate violence, genocide. What else? Ben Shapiro says, force yourself to look at the videos of what Hamas did over the weekend. Look, this is what moral equivalence brings. Rape of women. Kidnapping of children, murder of hundreds of innocents, including full families. And the problem here is, I've seen the same thing done by Israel to the Palestinian people. And I've seen it on a loop for decades. So what of this list has not been done by Israel to the Palestinian people? You're going to tell me that there's not an Israeli soldier that fucked one of these Palestinians? You're going to tell me that we haven't seen kidnapping of children? I mean, we've seen just sniping of children. Certainly kidnapping also. Murder of hundreds of innocents. that has happened at the ends of Israel to the Palestinians, including full families. Well, that has also happened. So why don't I have a tweet from Ben Shapiro that deplores the violence, be this these sorts of violence having been committed across the years by the Israeli to the Palestinian people? But it's because we are ultimately in an ethnic existential war. And I'm getting excited at this point because I'm like, wow, this was taboo 2 days ago. This was taboo 2 days ago. Like, even I, you guys should have warned me in advance because I would have changed my mindset. But it's like, okay, okay, oh. Okay, we're now just rooting for genocide on X. Okay. Jagmeet Singh is an example of a Canadian politician who did a completely neutral statement. Look at this. Our condolences to the loved ones of Alexandra Luke. The loss of a Canadian life touches us all. We know that many in Canada have loved ones who are in danger in Israel and Palestine. There is no justification for targeting Israeli or Palestinian civilians. An appeal here at reduction of harm, reduction of suffering. That's totally reasonable to me. I mean, Jagmeet Singh is a leftist. I hate everything of his political beliefs. And yes, he may be anti-white too, and I would hate that. But I can totally agree with the statement here. Yes, it's sad for the Canadian lives that were lost, one in that case. Yes, there are people in danger. And yes, there are ways we can reduce the harm by turning from a conflict that targets civilians to a conflict that would not. But Jordan Peterson doesn't like it. You are a man so weak that you've tipped into evil. So it is evil at this point to be calling for restraint against targeting civilians. I feel that we're in a hellish version of some psychology experiment here. And they're testing just how quick can we turn Jordan Peterson into a Nazi, basically. How quick can we get this old man to start calling for genocide? Well, there you go. Not targeting civilians is evil. Not targeting civilians is evil, according to Jordan Peterson. Wow. The Hitler hiding inside Jordan has come out quite quick. Jordan also retweets this. The front page of tomorrow's Daily Telegraph, Israel, no choice but to seize Gaza. Well, oh, okay. You left me no choice. You left me no choice but to attempt to do what I've been wanting to do for 40 years. Like, at this point, we have no choice. We're going to have to do it. We're going to have to do it. Sorry, no choice. It's like a thief that comes into the night and starts arguing with you that you left him with no choice. He had to take your car. The shininess of your car was way too tempting. The way you parked that car, sorry, it's my car now. We have no choice. There's no solution to military attacks. We can't have defense. We can't have walls. We're just going to have to take everything from you. Jordan Peterson still pissed off. The Daily Wire news was saying EU reverses earlier claim that millions in aid to Palestinian-controlled territories would be suspended. So, humanitarian aid, if you send it to the wrong side, is pathetic, according to Jordan Peterson. The EU is a pathetic, centralizing, virtue-signaling joke. I would agree with Jordan Peterson on much of the negatives about the EU, but I don't think that Jordan Peterson opposes the EU for real, nor humanitarian aid as a concept. I think that the issue he's taking here is that humanitarian aid is being sent to the wrong side. Lindsey Graham, of course, is affairing himself at redirecting this so that it can build into a world war.
For the average American to understand what's going on in Israel, just remember 9/11. Remember how you felt, if you're old enough to remember what happened to our country that day. This is an Israeli 9/11 on steroids.
I've seen calculations that are, people were calculating the number of Americans and they were showing, look, the 9/11 has killed more people than those Palestinian attacks. But there's lots of Americans. And so if you dilute... I love these people. These people are psychopaths. I love it. If you dilute the number of victims of 9/11 into the greater number of Americans, you will realize that one American... You will realize that basically one Jew in Israel is worth about 21 Americans, maybe. Oh, man, these people are insane. They're doing per capita on the value of human beings. And you had people make the point yesterday that basically, relatively, this was a bigger attack on Israel than 9/11 was against America because of the ratio of Jews and Americans. It's 1 to 21, bro. One Jew, 21 Americans, same thing. And here, Lindsey Graham is echoing this. He says it's an Israeli 9/11 on steroids.
There are about 6 or 7 million people in Israel. They may lose up to 1,000, who knows, right now, but it'd be like losing 20,000 on 9/11.
This guy values Israeli life at a 1 to 20 factor. Compared to the very country in which he lives and whose voters are electing him. You have to understand just how many Israelis there are. And if you do the divisions, you'll see. It was a big attack.
It's one of the most vicious, barbaric attacks of the 21st century or any other century. The Hamas attackers are animals, but the real...
Dehumanization.
Culprit here is Iran.
And transfer toward the true target of the war. These people, they want a world war. They absolutely are seething. There's saliva coming out of their mouth. Aquanote says, JF, Lindsey Graham obviously values Israeli lives at a value of 1 to 20 because that's the ratio of where his funding comes from. I was about to point it out. You're absolutely correct. As it turns out, that is also the ratio of the funding of political parties in the U.S. by Jews.
Without aid from Iran, there would be no Hamas capability to attack Israel. For the average American...
All right, so we get the plan here. So some local rebellion happens that justifies genocide. And then, oh yeah, don't forget also that we also have to attack this nuclear country, basically, just in case. Look at this. Yakov Wolf on X. Flatten everything. Spare no school, no children's hospital, no old age home. Delete their entire gene pool off the face of the earth. Can you tell us how you really feel, Yakov Wolf? Can you be clearer a little bit about what is your project here? Jordan Peterson says that this has shades of Nazi atrocities. An Israel rave attack survivor says she hid under dead bodies for 7 hours. As I explained earlier in the show, this is the wrong week to make me empathetic with rave crack whores. I have to say, this was just the wrong publicity decision here. I'm exhausted, and honestly, I've been thinking about rave crack whores for months and thinking, is there a solution? Like, where are we headed with these women? Like, they are just cost to society and they destroy everything around them. What are we going to do about it? Well, sometimes nature just shows you a way that you hadn't expected. And I didn't expect nor participate to the attacks against the rave. But what I see ultimately is a collision between a conservative Arab world that is militant, that is aggressive, that is dominant, and the extension of Western culture of liberalism and I am a woman and, oh my God, just I'm so valuable that just me making movements like this on speed is like the summum of the expression of my civilization. Because they showed video of this fucking rave, and that was what it was. And people have been launching this hypothesis on the regular chat. People have been saying JF was Mama JF at the rave. Honestly, it's been on my mind. Mama JF having disappeared. There's no update on this. We're still at the same point in the investigation. But it's been on my mind that Mama JF could be there. Because I told you guys how Mama JF travels a lot and she doesn't ask for permission and she doesn't need passports. And it's been on my mind that when I looked at the rave, holy shit, those are exactly the raves that Mama JF goes to, you know? Those are exactly the raves I found her in. Those are the raves she was bringing me to. I mean, it's not that she was bringing me often, but she brought me to one at the beginning of our relationship. I saw the degeneracy. I saw the... I remember Mama JF is crazy, you know, and I'm just standing there seeing all of these druggies and degenerates. And it's not even fun. It's like they're dirty, they're ugly, and they're in this kind of forest. And it's like, oh, yeah, this is an illegal rave, bro. The police might come. And they're just dancing, and I'm just standing stoic in front of it all. And I remember I was orbiting Mama JF just to make sure that she wasn't getting penetrated by some random dick, you know? So I was just following Mama JF at a distance of 1 meter while she was doing her, oh, I'm free, I'm dancing. And she was, you know, Mama JF can be annoying in those raves, and she was begging for cigarettes to people. And I remember there was this girl who was dancing alone, and she gave her a cigarette. And I remember this girl saying to Mama JF, looking at me, kind of looking at me on this side, and she said, you have your protection angel. She called me a protection angel or something like that. Basically, she noticed the amount of orbiting and monitoring that was weighing down onto Mama JF. And she noticed that I was there in a crowd dancing, but I wasn't dancing. She noticed that I was stoically pursuing the safety of Mama JF until we can get the fuck out of here. A guardian angel. Yes, a guardian angel. That's what she called me. So she said to Mama JF, you have your guardian angel. And then she continued dancing like a fucking whore. Open borders for Israel says Israelis/Jews, as E. Michael Jones points out, use the Holocaust for justification for everything. They will advocate for genocide in Gaza and then justify it by saying, my grandma was a Holocaust victim. Yeah, they often do that. We are horrified by what is happening and we call for a truce. That was the response of Israel, who were quite happy to deploy massive bombing of Gaza here today, yesterday. All right, so they're smoking Gaza. Jordan Peterson says, freeing Palestine. That's how the progressives celebrate their utter hatred of the eternally successful minority. Jews. And Michael Shermer, they're bashing on the idea of free Palestine. Michael Shermer is saying freeing Palestine is a synonym for destroying Israel. That's what supporters of Palestine mean when they chant, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. The sea, of course, washes against the west coast of Israel. What? This is fascinating. You have to read this this tweet with an assumption that Israel belongs there. And when you read it, that way, you will understand that, yeah, you know, Palestine have claimed the border of the sea. Well, that's Israel. That should be Israel. But you have to have the pre-axiom, the kind of axiom pre-inserted in your mind for this to make sense. Because, of course, if you're like, whoever lives on this territory has the rights to it, and right now it's the Palestinians. But in his head, in Michael Shermer's head, the simple fact that Palestinians claims that they live by the sea is an affront to Israel's existence. Because don't you look at a map? Look at a map. You'll see that Israel belongs there. That this should be part of Israel. The simple fact that Palestine is asking for freedom from within Israel is an affront to the existence of Israel. Gaza is in ruins, and as Andrew Wilson was pointing out, Gaza was already in ruins. But here we have some images after bombardment. I mean, complete destruction. I don't know how many people there were in these buildings. I know that they have been warned to leave these places in advance, so maybe there aren't too many human victims. A complete destruction of existing society. Not that these places were particularly well cared for. You know, they were subject to previous bombardments before also. Yeah, absolutely ruined state. It's going to be hard to rebuild these things with the amount of bombing that could happen in the coming years. Whatever you rebuild will be rebombed. Richard Spencer quotes this video showing what the ADL has to say about all this.
So while I am sad and
already, it's already all there. I am sad, but oh my god, dismissal of human suffering in the first few words.
So while I am sad and trying to cope, I'll be honest, I am angry. I am angry with the world that allowed the
Okay, so he wants to convert the feeling of sadness to an appeal to action, an appeal to violence.
Humanization of Israelis and sanitized the terrorism of Hamas. I must say, I love.
Okay, so he's critical of the leftist media in the U.S. that is not pro-Israeli enough.
This show, and I love this network, but I've got to ask, who is writing the scripts? Hamas, the people who did this, they are not fighters, Jonathan. They are not militants, and I'm looking right at the camera. They are terrorists. It is a barbaric...
You're not using my magic word that has a built-in assumption to it of illegitimacy.
...who rapes and brutalizes women, who kills children in front of their parents, and then brings them over to Gaza.
But why don't we cry the other children on the other side also? If we want to make an apology of human suffering, let's do it, but let's do it in full. The fact that there's only one side being mentioned here tells me that you're not engaging honestly with what you're saying. If you were just saying, I think, I'm rooting for Israel because I'm on Israel's side, and so here, let me tell you about human suffering on the side of Israel. At least you'd be honest. But to elevate it as, think about the human suffering. Well, people on the other side think about the human suffering on the other side. So what are you going to do about it? Dead Star sends a super chat. He says, what do you know about the Palestinian diaspora's conflict and incompatibility with the surrounding Muslim nations they have taken refuge in? As far as I know, they are essentially ghettoized second-class citizens in Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. Yes, I don't know the details, but my understanding is that your description is correct. Basically, the Palestinians don't have a welcoming home anywhere. Anywhere to go. People think often of the solution, why don't these people move to a Muslim nation? The problem is there are no Muslim nations willing to take 2 million Palestinians. That is just what it is. And some of these nations around are kind of, they are Arab Muslim, but somehow sympathetic and politically allied to Israel. I believe it's the case of Saudi Arabia, for example. So it's a complex situation. It's not just all Muslim nations would take Palestinians. It's also that the presence of the Palestinians on Israeli territory has a geopolitical strategic importance for many people, including the whole Syria-Russia axis. So in a way, it's a check on Israeli expansion and Israeli power. And so that adds a degree of complexity, because even if there was a solution that involves some sort of massive deportation, there's no country that seems willing to do it. And second, even if you were to find one, I don't think people would find it desirable in the Syria-Russian side axis of all this, because ultimately the Palestinians are a force of resistance against Israeli power from within. And that has great strategic importance. If Israel had Gaza in full, if there were no Palestinians, I can totally imagine some other nation becoming the target of Israeli expansion, most likely Syria. So... there's no easy solution here. It's really an existential problem, and there's no easy resolving it. Richard Strucker was noting something that appears totally correct to my eyes, and I can't believe my eyes. You can apparently call for total genocide on X, but you can't ever deny one happened. That is the state of the situation. And Boiling Frog says, Iran? Well, Iran are very sympathetic to the Palestinian people, but I don't know that they would accept a full immigration of all Palestinians. I don't think it would be in their interest to do so. I think that the Palestinians being in their location is part of what's important to Iran. And so they will be sympathetic. They will send, you know, chairs and support. And some people argue that much of the military power of the Palestinians, which appears to have kind of shifted up recently, perhaps has been done through channels of Iran. Whether that's the case or whether that's propaganda to make us hate Iran, I have no clue. But I'm not particularly convinced. I'm not particularly convinced that basically Palestinians are a puppet group of Iran. They must be to some extent, but that it's the proper lens through which we should see this whole conflict, I'm not absolutely certain. A burqa wearing pro-Palestine protesters violently clash with supporters of Israel near Seattle. So the conflict, as it often does, this conflict lights up conflictual forces within the West. Why would you need this music anywhere? Sorry for the hair rape. American with a boombox, Jews with Israeli flags, Muslims with a burqa. That is 2023. That right there, just in a single image, that is the current situation. And Nikki Haley doesn't miss an opportunity for further warmongering.
But let's step back, because I want the American people to kind of take this in for a second. Just imagine that here the Israelis woke up and communities were bombarded. Families were murdered. Women and children were taken hostage, dragged through the streets. The elderly were taken. All of this has happened in front of everyone, on top of thousands of rockets that hit Israel. This should be personal for every woman and man in America. Why? Because when they did this, when they did this surprise attack, when they took these hostages, when they murdered these families, they were celebrating. And what were they celebrating? They were saying, death to Israel, death to America.
And what are you saying? Death to Palestine? And we have Jordan Peterson celebrating when that death happens. We have all of you guys celebrating as there is revenge. Just revenge. We don't know that these strikes are particularly strategic. You're calling for the destruction and the entire annihilation of a people, and you're getting it, and you're happy about it. How is that not the exact same thing you just described, a celebration of death? And how should I not feel concerned? How should I not feel like this guy? I can totally extend my empathy to the extent that I know how it would feel to be carrying my dead daughter in my arms. So your empathy is selective. You are appealing for us to deploy it on only one side. And Jeremy McClellan was commenting, this is the most Indian she's ever been. Like, what is even the concept that Nikki Haley is an Indian when she spends her days talking about Israel, defending the Israeli perspective of geopolitics? At this point, what is the function of not calling Nikki Haley a Jew? Really? Like, what do we mean when we say Nikki Haley isn't a Jew? We mean, oh, well, technically her parents were Indians, and technically she hasn't had a bar mitzvah. Is that what we mean? Israeli PM tells Biden, we have to go into Gaza. Well, that's always what they have to do. They are always constrained and so sad about it. All right, so explosions in the night, bombardments as requested by Jordan. Dick Masterson says definitely by threatening to starve and massacre a million children and another million people who had nothing to do with it. Cassandra was asking, so how should pro-life Christians respond instead to an unprovoked terrorist attack, kidnapping innocent people, raping women, stealing children, etc.? Well, I don't know that anything you've listed there hasn't been done by the American government. The American government steals children. The American government has sponsored wars that have led to all of the things you just listed right there. So the only thing that differentiates what you observed in Israel and what the American government does on a regular basis is that you have a biased conception of the word unprovoked. And to call what Hamas is doing unprovoked requires an amount of self-deception that is absolutely insane. What is a provocation? First, was the war in Iraq that the American government did, was this unprovoked? Well, when you consider that it was based entirely on lies, you could very well have a case that it's unprovoked. But the hate of Hamas against Israel has had provocations to it. There are people in these networks of what you call terrorists who have lost their family to military actions of Israel. So from their perspective, it's not unprovoked at all. From their perspective, it's the only last thing they can do to seek vengeance for what happened to them. Colin Ruggs says, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has told President Joe Biden that Israel has no choice but to launch a ground operation in Gaza. We have to go in. We can't negotiate. We need to restore deterrence. And people have celebrated a community note that was putting Yan Malchung back to his place in terms of identity speech. Because Yan Malchung, just like me, by the way, I often talk of this country. And when I mean this country, I understand that for an American audience listening to this, they will not hear Canada. But the fact is, being a Canadian, I see Canada and the U.S. are enough of a bounded union that talking about this country is not such a grave misunderstanding. And I do understand Canada as part of the American Empire. So that's why I use the term this country. But when Yan Malchung, a Malaysian, says us, it does raise the question of what is us? These people want us dead. They make no secret of it. It's time to wake up. And apparently a community note has been written. I don't know if it's displayed, but apparently at some point it was displayable. That says, Yan Malchung is Malaysian and has never been to the U.S. Malaysia is not a Western nation, and in fact, has somewhere between 63% and 75% Muslim population, depending on the survey. He would be closer to the they than the us in this statement. Ouch! Ouch! Oh my God, can you imagine making an us and them statement because you're getting excited? I mean, I don't hate Yan Majdong, but holy shit, is that rude. Oh, this community note. Can you imagine making an us and them statement because you're part of a Twitter community and you feel part of a us? But someone can demonstrate to you, can post the receipt, you're not us. In fact, you're more them than us, if anything. Wow. Good shot here, community notes. Dick Masterson captures, and I was super happy with the interview I've done with him. I think he does a great job. I think he understands problems of dehumanization of the male in Western civilization. And I think he sums up here totally my feeling about all this. Lol, bro, we don't care about a bunch of music festival tots that much. We don't even really like them. That sums up my feeling about this whole thing. It's like, oh no. Oh no, a festival tot got raped. I mean, it's like, technically, she should, probabilistically, like, I'm not saying morally, but probabilistically, it's a miracle she hasn't been raped before. So it's like, she hasn't been raped by the simple virtue that she lives in a cucked world, and there she was sending sexual signals for decades. Oh, I'm a thot. Oh, look at my boobs. And just teasing the whole universe and thinking that this is part of our liberty. And at no point in human civilizational history would this woman not get raped. But okay, so we're in this specific point of human history where she did not get raped yet. And then she goes into Israel and she collides with a kind of pre-civilizational force, the Palestinian warrior Chad. And of course she gets raped. My point here is don't go to the front line of a conflict if you don't want to get raped, period. Hamas terrorist massacred hundreds of young Israelis at a rave. Listen to a survivor of the massacre. We were stopped by an armed officer. He told us to hide inside. There's nowhere to run. We were 30 people hiding in the shelter. Give me a second. Oh my God, look at this. He still has it. Oh no, okay, that's some kind of syringe or whatever. I thought it was his rave bracelet. I thought it was his rave bracelet. Bro, while you were dancing, Palestinians were meat grinding. They were preparing their machete. And there you were just enjoying life. I mean, justice comes down on you at some point. Oh, are you telling me that it's an IV for raves? Is this a heroin IV or is that an hospital IV? Yeah, people are raising the possibility that this guy would be an actor. I don't know. I'm not going to claim this. I have no idea. But, you know, it's definitely an actor of convenience in some way. You know, he's being given this platform for the purpose of further warmongering. So he's being used as a justification. As everyone is screaming, praying, and crying in pain, another grenade was thrown that hit the wall right there. I was against the wall, at the entrance and it flew over the bodies at the back. This protected us from the explosion. The bodies absorbed the hit. After half a minute, my friend who was murdered there in front of my eyes, she tried to run. Ah, there you go. He thought he had a secured, a friend-zoned woman, but she got grenaded by the Palestinians. A spokesperson for Hamas just said that they are going to start executing civilian hostages they took from Israel on live TV for every IDF airstrike that hits a civilian in Gaza, which happens as a result of Hamas using them as human shields. These are the animals leftists are defending. Oh yeah, you're about to see a resurgence of human shields. Because what is the function of this term for the warmonger? It's that the warmonger realizes that, look, we're hair striking a bunch of people with machetes and small automatic rifles, you know. We're going to end up killing a bunch of women and children. And so how do you justify this? Well, the concept of human shields. You say it's not our fault that we kill these children and women and civilians. It's that this is the strategy of Hamas. They put these humans there exactly where we want to strike. So it's their strategy. They use human shields. So we have no choice but to bomb these children. Look, that is it for tonight. I think it's a special situation. And I always have a big difficulty identifying, is that going to blow up into world war? Or is that just one more cycle of news that will last 3 days and disappear? Honestly, I have no idea. I've seen moments like this before where, oh my God, you have the impression that, oh, it's popping off. It's going to be insane. And then 3 days later, nothing has happened. And some bombing of Gaza will happen and some more activist, what they call terrorist action, some more militaristic action will happen on the side of Hamas. But I don't know how much it's going to build into anything significant. We have people who are distressed at the Ben Gurion International Airport. Thousands of people are here trying to leave the country. So overall, to me, what we learn from this is the Palestinian and Israeli conflict is still well alive, as anyone would have thought, based on knowing that this is an existential conflict and it's forever until one side's destroyed the other. And what I retain that is most important from the last few days is the absolute unhinged attitude of people who make a living speaking for the Jews. We'll be right back.